is something that as you begin to look in the Word of God.
We up? Yep.
All right. As you begin to look at this particular topic, you're going to see that something that turn over here for a second in 2 Timothy, and I'll just show you this scripture here for a moment. We'll jump in. But 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm sorry. Is it 2 Timothy? I thought it was 2 Timothy. Yeah. It is, I'm sorry, did I say chapter 3? It's verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. It said, "This know also that in the last days," we're in the last days, "perilous times shall come, for men shall be," what? "Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unholy, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God." And when you're a lover of God, then you're going to follow after God. And you're going to have a faithfulness to God. And one of the things, and of course you can see this, that as the further that the world and society gets away from God, that this is what you have right here. And they don't love God. Thus, they're not faithful to God, and thus, they're not faithful to anything. That's why you see unfaithfulness in society across the board. You see unfaithfulness to a job. You see unfaithfulness to marriage. You see parents unfaithful to children. You see unfaithfulness in friendships. You see unfaithfulness, and it's a big deal. And if you look back in generations, if you look back in society where there was some moral, what do you call it, some moral compass, there was something that kept people straight, you saw more faithfulness just across the board, didn't you? Faithfulness to their marriages, faithfulness to their children, faithfulness to their job. Even in sports, you saw players staying with the same team. Isn't that true? Now it's not, it's money. I'm gone. One season, I'm out of here. So faithfulness is a big deal with God. Why? Why is it a big deal? Because you will mimic what you will pattern yourself after that which you follow. And so to become faithful, you need to pattern yourself after who? God. And 1 Corinthians 1:9, what does it say? God is faithful. So as we follow him, as we seek after him, and we pattern ourselves, you'll become more and more like him. How? Romans 12, 2. "Be not," what? "Conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by," how? "The renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable will of God." So that as you become transformed in the Word of God, you become more like him. You begin to operate how? In faith and fidelity and faithfulness. So when you see folks, to me, you know, I wouldn't get upset if you see even Christians not being faithful. You know why? Because they're carnal. They just haven't renewed their mind. They're not grown up. So that they're just bringing habits over that haven't been transformed yet. They haven't been renewed. Their minds haven't been renewed. So they're just still hanging on to habits that they brought in out of the world. Isn't that true? So praise God. That's just my little opening thoughts here, because I've been thinking about this for a while. And faithfulness, obedience to God, faithful to Him, it's a big deal. And there was something Pastor Judy was ministering Sunday night, and there was something that transpired, and she was ministering to someone, and the Lord said that that person's deliverance was in the obedience of the Father. That's what He told me. I went and told Him. He said that your child's deliverance is because you were obedient to God to do something. And we know what it was, so I just had to share that, because I said, see, your faithfulness to God has rewards. Brother Hagin shared that. He said when he went out on the field ministry, he shared that. Anybody that listened to some of his tapes or read his books, he said that at one point he had this urgency to pray. It was in the middle of the night. He knew his son was in danger. And he said he got down and prayed until there was a note of victory or a lifting of that heaviness. And he said he found out afterwards that his son was racing motorbikes in Italy, or they were just clowning around doing some things, and he was in the service, and his bike got off the road, and he was on a cliff. And the Lord spoke to him and said, if you had not been obedient to me to go out into the field ministry when I told you to, you would have brought your son home in a body bag. See, so his obedience to God, his obedience to what He called him to do, had benefits for where his children were concerned. And so we need to keep those things in mind, that as we're faithful to what God has told us to do, it can impact your whole family and generations. Isn't that true? Yeah. Something to think about. Amen. Father, we thank You for this word that we're sharing this evening, and we thank You that You are faithful, and we thank You, Father, that as we follow You, as we live after You and pant after You, as we renew our minds, we become more and more like You. We become faithful, dependable, someone who can be counted upon, someone who is faithful to their word. And Father, we thank You that as we look to You, we thank You that You'll think through our minds, You'll open up Your word to our hearts and our minds, illuminate to us, and we give You praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles to John 3:16. Let's read that together. I'm going to read John 3:16, 17, and 18. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Well, let's turn over. I'm just picking up where we left off on this. And I want us to just look at, again, Matthew 25, and look at this scripture regarding the talents. And let's just focus on this for a few minutes. Matthew 25 and verse 14. One thing I've noticed is that you can't talk about faithfulness without talking about faith. Because that same word, faith, is faithfulness. And if you look at some of the translations, it'll insert that word in there, in some of the modern translations. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. That word faith is actually, if you look it up, it's pistis in the Greek, and it's actually faithfulness. It can be used, faithfulness. So without faithfulness, it's impossible to please him. Faithful what? Faithful to seek after him. Faithful, actually, when it says without faith, it's impossible to please him, when you look at that, it's really faithfulness to what God has told you to do. Or faithful to the revelation that God has given you. You see? So it's not just, well, I have faith in God. Yes, that's true, but it's faith in what he's revealed to you. See? And are you faithful to that? If he reveals something to you, like today, Pastor Greg and I were talking about something. We hadn't talked about this, but after these meetings with Dr. Hutton, I think it was either Sunday night or Monday, I was sitting, it was either at home or here in the evening. The Holy Ghost revealed something, just came right up in my out of my spirit, into my thinking, and he revealed something about something. I'll go that far. And I said, ooh, we need to make an adjustment there about how we're doing this, about a confession that we're making. And I said, we need to make a switch, a change. And we hadn't talked about it. And matter of fact, I just didn't discuss it. So anyways, Pastor Greg came in, we were signing some checks, and he said, hey, you know what the Holy Ghost told me? I said, what? He said, we need to make an adjustment here. And I said, yeah, I was going to tell you about that. And see, that's what I appreciate, that those things, and I haven't shared this with Pastor Greg, but things that the Holy Spirit reveals to you are of great importance. Other things, I'm not saying they're not of great importance, but when I weigh things in my life about in comparison to things that he's told me to do and revealed to me, that's what I'm going to be held accountable for. If he reveals something to me and says, do this, and this, and this, or change this, I'm going to be held accountable for that and not, well, gee, I didn't have time because I had to do this on the job, or I had to do this, and I had to do this, and I had to do this. Guess what? It's frou-frou. It's folly. It's not of great importance. What he tells me is of great importance. And I need to have faith in that. What does it say in Romans? I believe, let me just switch over because we're going to read this, but let me just switch here, just switch gears a second. Let me read this. Romans chapter 4. And it talks about Abraham. And it said, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So he could have considered and made adjustments in his life because of that and didn't consider God. He could have set his condition higher. We all live there, don't we? God tells you to do something and you go, well, I'll give you an example. Let's take a husband and wife. Let's say the Lord speaks to the husband to do something, or the wife, and both aren't in agreement. And so you go, you know what, Lord, I can't do that because Susie Bell here is not in agreement, and I don't know, I can't do that. Guess what? Unfaithful. Because you're staggering at something that God told you to do. And so that's the point that I was making, that what God tells us to do is of great importance. And all the other things that we get involved with in life, if He didn't tell you to do it, I'm not saying that you are negligent. If He hooked up two people to get married and bring forth children, well, then you have a responsibility. You're to be faithful to that. But I'm talking about other things. We hear about things where people can't come to church because they're working on Sundays. We can't do this. They don't have time for their families because they're too busy. That's what I'm talking about. That's being unfaithful. What is unfaithful? Not being there. That's the truth. See, this type of stuff is where we live, and we have to evaluate what are we doing with our life. I'll ask this question. This was something that the Lord prompted me to ask this question when I was up in Pennsylvania a few weeks ago. And I'll ask the same question because it boils down to what are we doing with what we have? Because I've asked these questions. How many in here have ever asked this question? If I just had a little more money, I could do more for God. Anybody ever ask that? I have. If I just had a little more, I could do more. That's a fair question. Most have thought that. How many have thought this? If I just had a little more time, if I had just a little more time, I could do more for God. I have. If I just had a little more time in the day, I could do more. Here's another one. If I had just a little more anointing, I could do more for God. For it's the anointing that breaks and lifts the burdens. If I had just more anointing, I could do more. Or another question, if I had more revelation in God's word, boy, I could do more for God. And the question is, because God always says this to me, what are you doing with what you have? See, what are you doing with what you have? God doesn't work that way. He doesn't respond to our need. He responds to what are we doing with what we have, the time we have, the money we have. Because if we're not faithful with the little that we have, we won't be faithful with much. So if my time is not being used properly, why would I need more time? Because I'd waste more time. So I have to make some adjustments. I have to make some choices. If I have been given revelation in God's word, what am I doing with it? Isn't that true? Or if you've been given, see, and this is the thing, we've all been given an anointing. All of us are anointed. So then the question is, what are you doing with what you have? We don't need more. If you got more, what would you do with it? See, and that's what this account is when we look at Matthew. We look at Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. So we can see here why he distributed to them, and he gave some five and some two and some one. It was because of their ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And likewise, he that received two, he also gained other two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I'm going to stop there for a second. Now, he said the same thing to the one that had five as the one that had two. And I know years ago, when Pastor Clinton was alive, he shared this from the pulpit. I don't know if anybody remembered it, but he had been pondering something, pondering why we hadn't seen growth and increase in the size of the ministry. This is after many years, and he said the Holy Spirit began to show him. He said, well, what do you consider growth and productiveness? He said, are you considering the size of the ministry as being productive or growth? He said, you have people going out from the ministry. The size doesn't determine the productivity of the ministry. It's people coming, being fed, going out. Being fed and going out. Being fed and going out. So you can see here, just on this note, the one that had five talents, you could use the same example. Somebody who had a congregation of 10,000 could hear the same thing as a pastor who had 20 if they were faithful. You understand? So it's the same thing where we are. What are we faithful over? What is our faithfulness? Are we faithful to the things that God has told us to do? I'm going to use Pastor Greg as an example. He said when he was here for a while, he served as a host. I did too. And then I know the Lord spoke to me about a year into serving as a host, and I don't know how far where Pastor Greg was, but he told Pastor Greg to serve in the youth department. He didn't want to go. And things didn't work well in his life until he made an adjustment, you see, because when you're out of the will of God, things just don't work right. And it's the same thing. Now I shifted, but it was a little strange for me because it was easy to be a host. I enjoyed that, but the Lord said, no, I want you to go run sound. I said, I don't know anything about sound. But see, here's the thing. This was in 1983, 84, when he spoke that to me. I began and I moved over, but it was less than a few months than the person that was overseeing the sound left the church. You see. So if I hadn't shifted, you see, then they would have been left with no one. Because there were two people. There was one person I remember his name. I don't need to speak who it is, but he left, and then this other person took over, and then within months, he left, you see. So that's the key. Just obey God, stick where it is, and I think sometimes, you know, if you're being tugged at in your heart to do something, follow it out. Just do it. It may not be comfortable. It may seem silly. But just follow it out. Be faithful to God. There's benefits in being faithful. I know I used this the last time, this particular scripture. It says a faithful man, he said in Psalms, he said, "For the Lord preserveth the faithful." In Proverbs 28:20, it says, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings." So when you're faithful, there's rewards involved. So one thing I want to discuss tonight, just briefly. Well, let me finish this here before I jump over here, because I've finished in verse 23. It says, Matthew 25:24, "Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him with the 10. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So the key is here, be faithful. Do with, if you got a little time, use it. Use it for God. You know, I think one of the things that Dr. Hutton touched on Sunday was that if Jesus is the Lord of your life, then that means he's the Lord over your money. He's the Lord over your time. Pastor Greg and I were talking about this today. That if he's the Lord over my time, then I don't have the right to use my time any way I want to use it. Isn't that right? Because if I go to him and ask him, he's going to show me where I can do what? Use my time effectively, so that I can use the little time I have and then get more. Because I'm looking to him for my time, my money, my health, my eating, all the various things, if he is the Lord of my life. And I think that's the thing that Dr. Hutton touched on that ministered to me, especially where time is concerned, because we're all busy. We're doing 35 things, and we just don't seem to have enough time. Guess what? Then we need to stop and say, did I ask him whether I should do that or not? Did I ask him whether I should go shopping? Did I ask him whether I should go out after service and eat with the friends? See, because we just say, well, hey, I got time. But that time, if he's the Lord of your life, then you should ask him how you use your time. Because we were talking about this today. And when he talked about the elderly woman who was 81, who was on welfare, and began to make him the Lord of her money, and she began to come off welfare, and then God gave her an idea, and she became a multimillionaire with 13 employees. Just by seeking him where the use of her money was concerned. Or the lack of money. And I thought, you know, it's no different with your time. God could have you be doing some things to be more effective for Him if we ask Him how we use our time. Isn't that true? If He's the Lord of our life, if He's the Lord of our time. So let's turn for a moment. Let's go over to Malachi chapter 3. Let's take a look at this. All familiar. Bigfoot. Huh? Yeah, I'm not talking about Pastor Greg. Yeah, he's seated. He's not on the roof. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." See, that's the piece I wanted to show you. "For I am the Lord, I change not." Now let's look at James 1:17. James 1:17, familiar scripture. And you're all familiar with this. It says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights." I'm reading from the NIV. Let me read it from the King James. "Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." The New Living says, "Whatever is good and perfect comes to us from God above, who created all heaven's lights. Unlike them, He never changes or casts shifting shadows." He doesn't change. So the more we become like Him, guess who doesn't change? We don't. That means we stick to our words. In other words, we don't say one thing and then shift. We don't say, I can't come. So the more we become like Him, the more we become transformed, we don't change. We change not. We say something, we mean it, and we're going to stick with it. Is that not true? And that's what's happening. We're seeing in the world, you can see that in the world, words don't mean anything. Covenant doesn't mean anything. Promises don't mean anything. Legal contracts don't mean anything. You sign it and they're looking away to get out of it. So the more we become God-like in our nature, we change not. And I think that's, to me, in society, being a light set upon a hill, that light, does it change? See, that light should be steady, and it changes not. What does it say? The salt has lost its saltiness, or its savor, is good for nothing. That means that something about that salt changed, didn't it? It's compromised. And so that's, for me, is a self-evaluation. Am I compromising my word when I give my word? Then that means I've changed. And right now in this society, they're looking for people who are honorable, who are faithful, that will stick to what they say. And the scripture, I believe it's in Psalm 15, it says that one swears to the word. What does that say? I think it's in Psalm. Let me just quick read that. Psalm 15, it says, But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. So in other words, when you give your word, you're going to stick to it, even if it costs you your job. Even if it costs you money, you're going to swear to that, even to your own hurt. Be honorable. Be faithful. Be a man of your word or a woman of your word. And so we're looking at the nature of God. We're looking at something that's consistent, doesn't change. In ministries, and of course I know you see this, and this is In churches, we see people, I've seen this in 30 years I've been here, people start something and they stop. People come, I'm here with you, and you turn around and you go, "What? Where'd they go?" They're not there. And so we're looking for, and this is, we're not talking specifically here at you, this is a Bible lesson so that you can understand the heart of God. That the people coming into this church are going to need to see men and women of God that are faithful to their word, faithful to their God. Isn't that true? That's what the world's looking for. They're looking for a faithful people, faithful to their God. And God keeps, it counts that as a, with a high price. Let's turn just to Ephesians 1 here a moment. And faithfulness, let's look at Ephesians 1. It talks about this here. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And I like the Amplified because it says, Paul, an apostle, special messenger of Christ Jesus, the Messiah, by the divine will, the purpose and the choice of God, to the saints, the consecrated set-apart ones at Ephesus, who are also faithful and loyal and steadfast in Christ Jesus. So we're faithful, steadfast, loyal in Christ and to Christ. So when he gives us something to do, we're faithful, we're steadfast, and we're loyal to his will and his purposes. And that's, you know, maybe you're not as close, but across church, I know in my experience, people have called me through the years and they said, "You still going to that church?" I don't know if you've had the same experience. And they tell you, "You mean you're still going to that church?" And I go, "What? Why wouldn't I? God planted me here. I'm being faithful to what he told me to do." You see. And so we've seen something, we heard something Pastor Judy shared with us recently, and it's like you just, you know, you just put your head in your hands and you go, "Oh God, we're gonna pray for this person because it's just it's sad." That's all I can say. It's sad. Because now here's a person that just they need to be developed in God so that God can do what? Use them. And that's really what God is doing. He said, "Okay, you've been fruitful, and now what happens? What happens when you've been fruitful?" He does what? He prunes so that you can be what? So you can produce more fruit. And so part of that is that God sometimes, it's like Brother Hagin said, that your faithfulness will be tried in the things that God will assign you to do, which are tests. And so we can see that in the lives of Abraham. Look at Abraham. Look at Moses. Look at Joshua. Look at Elijah and Elisha. They stuck with them. Joshua served Moses. And you look at Joseph, how faithful he was. You look at Abraham, and you look at his life, and you see his faithfulness. He was rewarded. He's the father of faith, you see. And so there are some rewards and benefits to things, and I know anybody that has stuck with something for a long time, they've had to go through some things that are not comfortable. Anybody who's been married for a long time has probably had to go through some things that were not comfortable. But sticking with what God has told you to do, if He's called you to be married to that person, then you are to be what? Faithful. Faithful to that person. Faithful to God. And so it's no different. You know, you think working for the ministry is you know, we're all in here praying and just having a good time. Some things are not comfortable. Some things are not pleasant to do. But you have to, just like anything, if God called you, you need to ask for God's, in faith, ask for His grace to help you operate in that setting. Because anytime you work with people, anytime you get together with people, there's personalities, there's likes, dislikes, and people are all at different levels of faith. And so there's adjustments that we have to make in working with one another. And my God, if we can't work together here, what are we going to do when we get to heaven? Forget about it. You know, I've told this to many persons that have come to work here. If you can't work, if you can't operate here in faith and in love, you're going to have a hard time doing it out there with sinners. This is like a training ground for folks. And but anyways, but let's take a look. Let's take a look over here for a moment at Deuteronomy. We're going to look at something here, Deuteronomy 7:9. And look at, this is a character, talks about God's character. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9 says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which does what? Keepeth covenant and mercy with them that what? Love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. So that means He keeps His covenant and mercy with those that love Him and keep His commandments. That's being faithful to God. That's what we just got done reading in Ephesians 1. Faithfulness to Him. Let me read this. Lamentations 3:2. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Now let's turn over for a moment. I want to just look at Hebrews chapter 11 for a moment. I want us to look at something here. We're talking about being faithful to what God has told you to do. And not changing from that. I'm going to read verse 6, Hebrews 11. But without faith, it is impossible, or not possible, you could say, to please Him. For he that cometh unto God, or cometh to God, must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So He rewards faithfulness. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things, what is this? Not seen as yet, moved with fear. So he didn't see it and he moved, but he was warned of God. So he obeyed something that God told him to do, didn't he? Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I want to look at Abraham here. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Not knowing. So he obeyed not knowing where he was going and what this end result would be. He just said, here, leave your country, leave your family, leave all of this, and I'll show you where you're supposed to go. And he did what? He obeyed. So, and he didn't deviate from that, did he? He didn't change. And then it says, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So you can see here his faithfulness. He stuck with that, and then what happened? After that, after he reached a place where God told him to go, what did he ask him to do next? That wasn't the end of it, was it? It says he tested him and said, get up and go offer your son. And so you can see here, and Pastor Judy's been reading that from Genesis 22, and you can see the story where it came to pass, God tempted Abraham, and he said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here am I. Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of these mountains, which I tell thee of. And Abraham got up and rose up early in the morning. He didn't hesitate. He didn't think about it. He got up and did it. And so there was no halfway between there. He got whole feet. He didn't change. He stuck to what God told him to do. He was faithful, was he not? And that's really where sometimes I'm looking and saying, okay, in the church, when I look at, and I tell you, one of the things, and I guess it's, I'm trying to get this out in a way that can be understood. But fruit is born after the seed that's planted, isn't it? And so when there is an example, you become an example to someone. That's like seed, in the sense that people will pattern after your life. They'll follow your example. And so when you have, that's why I believe you have such a breakdown in society. The devil has gotten in and made a mess, but I believe God's going to turn that around. When we have men standing up being faithful in their homes, then you have children, and I'm not saying mothers can't be faithful, but it starts with that husband. It starts with the man in the house. And I thank God for godly parents. I thank God for parents that were steady. You know, my parents will be married 65 years this year, steady, faithful to one another. And so my mom will be 90, or is 90, and my dad's 89. So long life, faithful to one another, and thus they don't have crazy children. You understand what I'm saying? They don't have nutty children. And so when you have examples in the home, and you have that doesn't mean that children don't make bad choices. I'm not saying that. But there's a better chance that good examples at home produce the right kind of offspring. And so it's important for me that men and women, husbands and wives, are examples of faithfulness to God. They exhibit that because their children will follow that. Their children will pattern after that. And so when you see that, that's why I esteem highly Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah, because they've been faithful to God, faithful to the call that He gave them. Doesn't mean it didn't come with trials and tribulations and issues and attacks. Pastor Clinton is in heaven, but the point is they were faithful. And so the congregation produced faithful people. And that, I believe that's the truth. And so as we are growing and maturing in Christ, above all, we want to be faithful to Him. Faithful to God, faithful to His Word, faithful to the instructions that He's given us at all costs. If it means my job, I'm going to be faithful to Him first. I can get another job, but I'm going to be faithful to God, and I'm going to be faithful to His Word. You may lose your friends, but you're going to be faithful to God. You see. So to me, God counts faithfulness when you look at in the sense of His character. I think we all want to, that's our heart's desire, to exhibit His nature. And part of that nature is we say, okay, I'm going to love like He loved, but we're going to also have to exhibit faith like Him, which is also faithfulness. Was Jesus faithful? It's like, it's just exactly what Dr. Hutton was sharing, that it was impossible for Jesus to, if He had not, if, since He had no sin, it's impossible and was impossible for any curse to be there until the cross. So if there was no curse, then that means He was prosperous, He was rich, He was healthy. There was no disconnect with His Father. And it also means He was faithful at all costs, even to His own hurt. What does that mean? He came here and said, I'm going to do His will and not mine, meaning I'm going to go to the cross. So even in our own lives, following out, that's why we have some living examples in front of us. And I think it's wonderful with some of the examples, even like Pastor Judy, when she begins to share some of the things, she's not shared all the things from the pulpit. She shared some things privately about how God has led her here and done this and done this and done this and done this at her own hurt. You understand what I mean by that? But that's why God is using her to the degree that He is. Years and years, not weeks and weeks. Years of faithfulness. So that you can be what? Depended upon. That if He prompts you to go do this, you don't dilly-dally, you don't drag your feet, because when He calls on you, yes, sir, I'm moving. because it could mean the difference between the success or the failure of someone's life. It could mean the success or failure of a ministry. And you drag your feet, then you're not faithful. And it comes at a cost. Doesn't mean he won't use you. He just may not use you at that level, you see. And that's where I know we all want that. We want the Lord to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So my thing is, how do we want to hear that? How do we get to be faithful? It means to become more and more like him. Be transformed. Get your mind renewed by the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit. Be led by him. And when you get instructions, when you get revelation, stick to it. Don't change. As they say, whatever the cost, you're going to stick with that no matter what. In other words, what we're saying over in Malachi 3:6, when he said, I change not. That means, actually, what that means to me is the more we become like him, who changes not? We don't. When he tells me to do something, I'm not getting off it. That's it. I'm not changing. Because to change would mean I'm not faithful to what he told me. I've considered something else. And what does the scripture say? That which is not of faith is what? Is sin. So if I consider something else and I know he told me to do something, what is that? That's sin. See? And so I'm going to stick with it. We're going to stick with it. We're going to stick with his instructions. And we're going to get there. We're going to get there. We're going to become more and more like him, his nature. And that's what the world is looking for. Faithful to their God, faithful to their people that God has assigned us. Amen? I'm going to close. That's it for tonight. And we'll touch on some others that their lives were faithful. Amen. Praise God. Anybody have a question or comment? Anybody? If not, I'll close. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us, renewing our minds by your word, by your examples in the Word of God, of faithful men and faithful women that are given to us by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, penned in this word as living examples for us. And Father, we thank you that as we become more and more like you, we'll become more and more faithful men and women and examples to be held up light and lights in this earth. And we thank you for it. We praise you for it. We commit our lives. We say yes to your will, as the song said this evening, withholding nothing from you, Lord. We commit to you our lives, our time, our money, our families. We commit them, Lord, and they're yours to guide and direct. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, before we dismiss, is there anybody here? I guess I see everybody here. I know everybody. So everybody here I know is born again and filled with the Spirit. I guess I'm going to ask this question. How many are desiring? I'll say it that way. I know me, and when God puts some things in my heart to make some shifts and adjustments, I'm desiring to bear more fruit in the earth. I think we all desire that. We want more productivity, more fruitfulness in our lives. And so in order to do that, we have to allow God to prune us so that we can be more fruitful, more productive. And he's going to stretch us. And I know some folks, I know the pressures of life and the pressures of responsibilities. It's almost like what Dr. Hutton was sharing on Sunday about how the woman came and said, "I can't do that. That's not possible." And fussed at him and got in a huff and left. And he shared with her, if you just follow what was taught and you follow the word of God, it'll change your life. And so I think the same thing. When we begin to see things, we might be under certain pressures in life, but if we will just ask the Lord, "Lord, I can't do this on my own anymore. I want to be more productive. I want to be more fruitful." He all knows our time and the responsibilities that we have. But I'm convinced if we go to him and ask him, he'll show us how to effectively use our money, our time, which to me, I'll tell you, I look at my time as more valuable than my money. I do. Because I'm going to be held accountable for how I use my time. And sometimes I have to say my time probably hasn't been used as effectively as it could be. And we could all say the same. So I'm desiring, my heart's desire is to be more productive. And Pastor Greg and I were sharing this today privately. We were just saying, you know what? We, since he is the Lord of our time, he's the Lord of my life. The pulls in a ministry where you're pulled in a lot of different directions and you're asked to do things, then you have, he has a wife and grandchildren, his personal things. So you have to ask God, how can I be more effective and not neglect my family, not neglect my wife, not neglect children if I have that, but I still want to be productive? Who's got the answer? The person that knows everything. He knows exactly what you need, and what we have to do is ask him and wait on him. Say, "Okay, Lord, I want to be more productive. How can I do that?" And he'll show us. And then we have to be what? Willing to make the change. Willing to make the adjustment. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let's stand.